Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Be with us, Father, as we go through our class, Father, that as we study your word, that we may grow, Father, in it, that we may be edified, Father, in your word. Be with us, Father. Be with those of our members that are not here, those that are traveling, Father. Give them safe passage back home. And be with all those that are sick, Father. Comfort them. Give them strength, Father, at this time. We thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers. I know we see Obed sitting in the audience, Brother Obed. Since Brother Zach last week was preaching on the eldership, we decided to continue that thought through the rest of this month. And so we will be, it's between myself and Brother Zach, will be preaching or teaching on eldership. And I'll tell you right off the bat, we're not looking for or to install elders at this time, but it's still good to be prepared for that time. So that's the plan for this morning and the rest of this month. So Brother Zach, like we said, he touched on this subject on the eldership last Sunday. And we read several scripture that said that as far as we read Timothy and Titus, that the Apostle Paul appointed to go out and set eldership in each congregation. So there's an importance for the elders. We'll talk. There's a lot of questions, brethren. There's a lot of questions that you have and even I have as far as the eldership. So we'll talk about those questions. But the first thing I want us to do, and I think this is very important, is talk about the church first. What I want to do this morning is establish that it's the Lord's church. It's Jesus who purchased the church. This is, I think, the foundation that we have to set before we talk about the eldership or the men that serve as deacons or the minister. But it also leads to you as members of the Lord's church. Not just the elders, the deacons, the minister, but the members, we as the body of the Lord's church. How it all comes together. How God's plan works when we follow his word. And so the first thing I'd like for us to do is open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. And this is a popular scripture. We read it lots of times. And the reason I want to read this is because, once again, we need to establish that it's his church and it's his authority that we have to fall under or follow God's rules and regulation. Matthew chapter 16. And he says, beginning with verse 13, talking about the church, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples and telling them, okay, so what are the people saying about me? Who do they say that I am? Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
And they
said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some
Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Thank you, sir. And Simon Peter, verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we see here Jesus saying, whom do the men say that I am? They say, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. But whom do you say that I am? Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says to Peter, he says, well, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this. And so we see here the church that Jesus Christ is about to establish, and I say about to establish because it's not established yet, but he's talking about the church. Whose church is it? So whose authority must we follow as members of the Lord's church? This is what we need to understand. And so Jesus says, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus says, upon this rock I shall build what? My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it's his church. He's going to establish his church upon what Peter said, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Another verse that I'd like for us to see is Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. And a lot of these verses will be going back and forth with these verses because we'll read them several times. And we see here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the apostles, when they preach the gospel, what do they say? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the Son of Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is the day that the Church of Christ, the one that we read about in Matthew chapter 16, this is when it comes to play. This is when it begins. The church comes to, I don't know if I'm using the right word. It comes to, is it fruition? It comes to play. That church that Jesus is about to be to build, it's about to begin the day of Pentecost. How many obeyed the gospel? 3,000. And they were added to what? They were added to the church. And this is why Peter says, this Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Once again, we're establishing that it's his church. It's the one that he died for. It's the one that he shed his blood for. And once again, these people that obeyed the gospel on that day were added to the Lord's church. Acts chapter 20. I'd like for us to read verse 28. And if we go a little bit back, further back, Acts chapter 20, verse 17, we see what Scripture says here. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. This is Paul talking about Paul. He calls the elders of the church. And when they come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia after that manner, I have been with you at all seasons. And so it's the Apostle Paul that's calling the eldership from Ephesus. Let's jump into verse 28. This is what he tells them. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. There's a lot to say with this verse, verse 28. But what I'd like for us to focus at this time is the last part of this verse. What does the last part of this verse say? Purchased. Which he has purchased with what? With his own blood. We see the authority here. We see who established the church. We see who died for the church. But more important, we see that he purchased it by shedding his blood for the church. So you might ask yourself, so why is this important to know about the church if the topic is elders? Why is it important? Why does it play a part? Either an elder, a deacon, or a minister. Any thoughts?
Well, you know where your authority comes from. That individual is
from God. Okay. And I'll tell you my thought on this. When a person, and let's just use this term, when a person comes into power, what happens? Or comes into authority,
what happens with that person?
It goes to his head, doesn't it? It's not about Christ anymore. It's not about God anymore, but it's about me. Right? So it is important to understand that it's his church. He purchased it. He died for it. And if we keep this in mind as we serve, then we won't have an issue. We won't have a problem with it. So this is the importance of understanding the authority and whose the church belongs to. Because at times, I'm not going to be able to put my 2 cents into it. And later on, perhaps not this morning, but we'll talk about the qualifications of the elders, of the deacons. Why is there qualifications? You know, and once again, brethren, I personally have a lot of questions as far as the elders and what Scripture says. You might have a lot of questions about this as well. And so hopefully together we can see what Scripture says. So the ultimate authority is God or Jesus Christ, he is the head of the church. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 12. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Talking about the church. Be of one accord, of one mind. And it has to be in Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So let's get the eldership out of our thoughts for just a minute. If each one of us would take these verses and apply them to ourselves, what's the Apostle Paul telling us to do? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than what? Themselves. What's he teaching here? What's the Apostle Paul teaching us? Humility. What else? I heard someone else say. Yes, sir?
How to live in Christ.
How to live in Christ. I'm sorry?
Your attitude.
Attitude. I'm sorry, sir?
Service.
Service. And I think that word, we could use it through the whole lesson. Service. Service to who? Sure. To God. But we don't look at it as individuals. We don't see it that way. We want to serve ourselves. We want, it's either my way or the highway. It's not a good attitude, is it? Now, let me just ask this question really quick, sister, before your comment, because I'll lose it. And I lost it there, but go ahead.
It goes along with what you said earlier with when man is made an elder, he has service, you mentioned, and not ruling. He doesn't rule the people, he serves the people, and I think that's important.
Okay. It's being a service, doing a service to God, but not being a ruler. And we'll talk about this here in a few minutes. A ruler over the church. Because once again, it's whose church? God's church. Jesus Christ is the one that purchased it. So if each one, what the Apostle Paul is telling us here is if you can humble yourselves, not think about me, but think about what? Others. Is that easy to do? Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Depending on who the other person is, right? But think about Jesus. Did he die just for the good? He died for everyone. And so, being of service to God, there has to be humbleness within us. And so this is going to be one of the qualifications that what? An elder has to have as well. Because once again, when we talk about being put as a leader, you know, power can do strange things to a person. So we have to keep what? A level head. And so let's continue on here in chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, and I think this is the best example that we could use as far as being humble and thinking of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, though it thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. There's that word that we just mentioned here, servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the best example that we could use as far as our service to God, whether it be elder, deacon, minister, member of the Lord's church. We are all servants. And what example is the Apostle Paul giving us here? He's comparing us to who? Who? Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not think highly of himself, but was able to humble himself and come to this earth and die, willing to die for you and me. You could read Isaiah chapter 53. The whole chapter talks about Christ. In fact, when you read in the book of Acts, when Philip and the eunuch, what is the eunuch reading? Isaiah 53. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no. How can I, if nobody explains it to me? At that time, what did Philip do? He preached unto him what? Christ. So we see here that even Jesus, being in the form of God, did not think of himself above others, but became what? A servant. And I think this is the word that we need to keep behind our minds as we continue with this lesson. What's the, and a question that we could ask is, what's the purpose of elders, or let's say elders and deacons? What's the purpose? Or in our own words, what's the job of an elder, and what's the job of a deacon within the church? We'll let somebody else give us the answer, Brother Joe.
Somebody else?
Yes, sir.
Not me.
In your own words. In your own words.
To keep you on the right path.
Okay, to keep us in the right path. In your own words, what's the job of an elder?
To oversee the church.
To oversee?
I'm sure the spiritual growth.
Okay, the spiritual growth. Anything else?
To guide and protect.
To guide and protect
scripturally.
Okay, to guide and protect scripturally. What about the, yes, ma'am?
To see the dangers out there beyond the fence that the sheep cannot see.
Okay.
There are things sheep can see. The other's job is to keep them safe and to put their fence around them and keep them in that fence. Pull it back when they jump, because sheep jump a lot. So sheep jump, they take off, they run. They go and have babies where they should not go have babies. They do that too. And there are coyotes out there watching, not driving from the sheep that's having the baby. So you've got to watch with those sheep while you're doing that and pull them back in and make sure they go back where it should be.
Okay. So to keep the flock safe is what she is saying. To keep the eldership is to keep the flock safe. And we'll put it in simple terms. It's the well-being of the members spiritually. That's the job of the elders. Brother Pat used to say that it's to save the lost and to keep the saved. That's pretty good thought there. What's the job of the deacons? And we'll read an example here in a few minutes. If it's the elder's job to make sure that the church is being fed spiritually and being kept spiritually, the deacons physically. If there's a need among the congregation, it's a deacon's job to serve. And once again, whether elder, deacon, minister, we are servants of God. So this is why I wanted to bring this up, is if Jesus, being the Son of God, and I'll let, before I continue, I'll let Brother Joe give us his thought.
One thing is this, don't ever forget why God put you there. And don't ever forget that you love the church. That's one of the main things of the elder, to make sure that your love for the brothers, for the church, for the love of the scriptures, to make sure that you continue on steadfast and doing everything according to the will of God.
Okay. And that comment brings upon a lot more questions that, like I said, I have. I just don't think that we'll have time during this morning's lesson to talk about this, because in the other lesson, I'd like to go into the qualifications and go a little bit more deeper into the elders, their job, and you know, into that. And several questions. But what I wanted to do this morning is establish that it's the Lord's church and we are his servants. We need to be humble as we serve God. If our focus is on God, then it's going to be easier to be of service to our brothers, because our focus is on whom? On God. But if we put our focus on, like I said, you know, some of us are easier to get along with than others, aren't we? That's just simple fact. It's personalities. So just think about this. If Jesus was willing to die for everyone, and then he puts the elders in place, the elders have to deal not just with Juan, but has to deal with Brother Kevin, you know, Brother Joel. So it's not just dealing with one person, but it's with another. With that mind and thought, I'd like for us to turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 5. And once again, we'll be coming back to some of these verses, because there's a lot more to say about it, but I'm just taking certain parts of it to make our point. 1 Peter chapter 5. verses 1 through 4. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so we see here, talking about the foundation of all this is Jesus Christ, who's the sheep, the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd over the flock. But what kind of attitude should this person have as he serves? According to what we just read, what kind of person do you imagine that this person should be?
Meek.
Meek, humble. I'm sorry? Did I hear the word eager? Sister? Laura?
I'm going to say, should imitate Christ when responsible.
Imitate Christ. But it says to be what? An example. Right? Because it's easy to say, you know, it's hard to say and do. So we need to be an example. And it's, to me, it a lot of these things are common sense, brother, because even in the secular world, you know, who do we choose and pick? You know, we had our men's business meeting yesterday. And I think we got a lot out of the meeting for you that, you know, missed out. But as men, we are what? God has put us as head of what? There's the leadership role there, man. What is it? Head of what? Head of household. So there's the leadership role there, man, for us. Coming from God. With our family. It's common sense, isn't it? This is what we look for. And this is one of the qualifications that Scripture is going to talk about, you know, for an elder and how it comes to play. But just as men, you know, there's a leadership role. And so we have to be what? Diligent leaders as husbands. Do we let our kids run around and do what they want? No, we're going to guide our kids what? Down the right path. That's a leadership role there, men. So we see here that it's not just the eldership, but we see examples out in the world. You know, you have your boss, you know, and I think I'm excused from this because it's me and my brother now, and I say that there's two chiefs, you know, because we both want to be bosses, and it can't happen, right? You can't both be bosses. There has to be cowboys and Indians. Yes. But we understand, don't we, the leadership role. What kind of person do you want to be led by? Let's take, for example, I thought to myself, I'm not going to use this, but the president of the United States, as he guides, who's he guiding? The U.S. of A, he's guiding you and he's guiding me by what? The decisions that he's making. We see everything going on around the world? Is it all good? No. Does he have to make difficult decisions? But it's for the nation. So what kind of leader do we want leading us is one of the questions. It goes back to what we said earlier. What kind of husband do we, are we, to our families and leading our families? But it goes back to Jesus Christ. You know, he is the chief shepherd. We need to follow it's his rules and his what? Regulations. Not my own. Yes, sir. Brother Luis.
Humankind, we are very happy to follow authority. We don't like authority.
And this is what we've been trying to establish this morning, that we have to follow, because what he's saying is we have to follow authority. That's his church. He established it, and we need to follow God's rules and regulations. And so another example that I'd like, because I think, you know, it's a great example. And if we, and it doesn't, it's not only for the elders, but we as members have this thought in mind, I think that it'll help us in the long run. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. And there's another example that we read about Stephen and the rest of the men when they were in the book of Acts also. When the widows were being, what's the word? They were being, neglected. There we go. When the widows were being neglected, what did they choose to do? Choose from among you seven men. Do you choose any type of men? Spiritual men that were able to serve in that capacity is what they were told. Stephen was one of them. But let's go to 1 Kings. And what I, the thought that I'd like for us to have here is what Solomon, as he is about to become king over Israel. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. If you have it, would you please read it for us?
Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father. Now, how to go out in the midst of your people, who you have chosen.
So what is Solomon as he is about to become king, or he is king of Israel? What's he asking God? God says, hey, you know, what do you need to rule over my people? What does he ask for? Wisdom. Why wisdom? Because he's about to guide who? God's people. The task that is at hand. Guiding God's people. What's he saying about himself? Hey, I'm just a young man. You know, I don't know my ins and outs. You know, how am I going to lead a great nation? But it's God's people that what? He has to rule over. Elders. Who do they have to rule over? God's people. So what do we need to pray for?
Wisdom
from God. Once again, it goes back to the honor and the glory and knowing where the authority is. and the attitude. This is what Solomon was asking for. And once again, the question is it an easy task? No. And so, since we're down to 5 minutes, we'll stop there, but I just want to prepare you for the next lesson, Lord willing. And I said that there's a lot of questions that I personally have. And I'll just run down these questions so that you can keep them in mind. If you have questions or comments, you know, please study up on it and, you know, comment on this. Why do we need qualifications for elders? That's one of the questions. No answers, please.
Scripture says,
this is one of my questions. What is the meaning of to desire the office of a bishop or an elder? That's another question. Do elders oversee several congregations? Do they rule over several groups of people? That's another question. We'll talk about, Scripture says that the elders have to give an account for your souls as members. Where is that balance? Because Scripture also says that each one of us has to give an account to God, right? So where is it? Is it the elders that are going to give an account? When Jesus comes for the second time, is he going to say, Albert, you know, Brother Kevin, you're going to have to pay for Brother Kevin. Is that what that means? Or how far does that go? That's one of my questions. It's always stuck in my mind. Okay? Something to think about. So these are all the questions that I have, you know, as far as the eldership. Now that we have set the foundation as far as it's his church, he established it, you know, we have to go by his rules and regulations as the Lord's church. Now, we're going to talk about the elders' qualifications and try to answer these questions. And I'll tell you this as well before we end this morning. I wish that there was a pill, you know, that we could give to people, because it's dealing with the members, those that come in from the outside, right? What do they bring with them when they come to the church? What are they looking for? They're looking for God. They're looking for salvation. How do you get them to that point? Okay? I wish there was a pill that you could say, okay, here's an aspirin. Just take this aspirin and you're good before God. Is it that easy? So that's another thing to think about. But also, we have to use God's word. Okay? That's the important thing, to use God's word as guidance. Whether you're an elder, deacon, minister, or member, we have to use God's word to guide us. Hopefully that we'll have questions and answers. You know, I won't have all the answers for you, okay? But together, you know, we could, yes, be edified. Thank you for your attention.